Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day. Thank you so much for joining us for the last lesson from James. The lessons from James have been very practical, dealing with things life is made of. So many areas of life were addressed in these five chapters, and many of them deal with the way we live and think every day. And this lesson may be the most practical of them all. James ends the book writing about prayer. This incredible tool all of us have access to where we can connect and communicate with God anytime and anywhere. Communicating with God is good for us, and we benefit from it. Today, Pastor J. Mark will share three good things that can happen when we pray. Let's join him for today's teaching.
Our study from the book of James has been intensely practical. We have a lot of work to do as we live out a faith that works. James does not suggest that we earn our salvation by works. However, he does argue that if our salvation is genuine, we will think differently, act differently, and look differently than the unbelievers around us. And he gives us clear instructions on how to live. Our text for today, the final verses of James chapter 5, deal with prayer. Prayer is a vital part of a working faith. John Bunyan, the author of the well-known Pilgrim's Progress, said, "You can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed." In our study today, James discusses the prayer of faith. I've taken that phrase for the title of my teaching. And our text is James chapter 5 and verses 13 to 20. Listen as I read. "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the church's elders, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. A righteous man's effective, fervent prayer avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature just like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover many sins." Prayer allows you and me to connect with and communicate with God Himself. As we examine this text, we will observe several results that follow the prayer of faith. The first result is prayer brings comfort. It brings comfort to those who are suffering hardship or trouble. If you believe the Bible, you accept the doctrine of God's sovereignty. He controls the physical universe and the circumstances of your life and mine. Nothing comes to us without His approval or permission. And again, Job is an undeniable example of God's sovereignty in the affairs of human beings. Since God controls the events of our lives, and He knows all about us, someone might ask this question, "Okay, then why bother to pray?" And yet here James instructs us to pray in times of trouble, because prayer acknowledges that we're not in control of the situation, and that helps eliminate the temptation of pride. Finding ourselves in a position where we can do nothing is often a motivation to evaluate life. Many people throughout history have thanked God for an experience that put them flat on their backs and gave them time to pray and seek God's face. And during that time, significant life changes occurred. Prayer also gives us access to God's resources. Hebrews 4:15 and 16 tell us that we have a representative, Jesus Christ, who has suffered everything we have suffered, and yet in all His sufferings, He did not sin. Because of that, we are invited to come confidently to His throne. And then further, prayer comforts those who are physically ill. James instructs those who are sick to call for the elders of the church. Do the prayers of the elders carry special weight with God? They are not better than other church members or even more spiritual. However, the scriptures do clearly show how God works through divinely established authority structures. Involving the elders highlights the often ignored spiritual dimensions of physical sickness. Now, I am not saying that all illness is a result of personal sin. Jesus' disciples made that mistake in John chapter 9, and Jesus promptly told them that this man's blindness was not a result of anyone's sin. However, James does note this possibility by saying, "And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." There are physical consequences to both the sins of the body and the sins of the spirit. In our praying, we must acknowledge the possibility that God will not heal the one who is sick. And while that fact isn't explicitly stated in our text, we must keep the larger context of Scripture in view. Even in the event of death, there is comfort in prayer as we are reminded of the blessedness of those who die in the Lord. The prayer of faith also assures us that we are pure before God. The Holy Spirit is faithful, and He will confirm our good relationship with the Father. But if there is sin in our lives, a prayer of repentance brings rejoicing as we experience that cleansing by the blood of Christ and the restoration of peace in our spirits. You know, experiencing the unconditional love of the Father is a tremendous, tremendous comfort. The prayer of faith comforts us in our spiritual, emotional, and physical afflictions. The second result, then, of the prayer of faith is it brings strength. In verse 16, James exhorts us to confess our faults and pray for each other. Confess and pray, why? That you may be healed. So can we infer from this statement that healing depends on our confession and prayers? Confessing our faults, our sins, to each other and praying for each other brings the brotherhood's strength and comfort along with the Lord's blessing. And so the healing can be both physical and spiritual. I deeply appreciate the brothers and sisters God has given to me in the local congregation that I'm a part of. I greatly enjoy and benefit from our times of worship and I greatly enjoy and benefit from our times of worship and fellowship together. And yet I have told them, if in the course of a week I must miss a service, I would rather miss a Sunday morning service than our midweek prayer meeting. You know why I feel that way? Because I know my brothers are praying for me, and they're not going to take my confessions and use them against me. There is great strength in united prayer. During World War II, Hitler ordered all religious groups in Germany to unite so he could control them. Half of the Brethren assemblies complied, the other half refused. When the war was over, there was feelings of deep bitterness that ran between those two groups. And finally, they decided this situation had to be resolved. And so leaders from each of the groups met at a quiet retreat. And each person who was there examined their own heart for several days in the light of Christ's commands. Then they came together as a group. As they confessed their hostility and bitterness to God and yielded to the control of His Spirit, He created unity among them. Love filled their hearts and dissolved their hatred. They confessed their faults. They prayed for each other, and they were healed. James caps off verse 16 with this declaration, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails or accomplishes much." And to illustrate this statement, he points to the life of Elijah. You know, we often see the patriarchs, the prophets, and even the apostles as some kind of super saints. But James reminds us that Elijah was a man who had feelings and desires just like yours and mine. If you read through the account of Elijah's life, he certainly had his ups and downs. Because of the wickedness of King Ahab, God instructed Elijah to pray that it would not rain. And he did, and it didn't. It didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then after his showdown with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, he prayed again, and God sent rain. That was a marvelous answer to prayer. What a tremendous victory for Elijah and for the God of heaven. But the very next scene finds Elijah huddled in a cave in fear for his life because of the threats of the wicked queen Jezebel. The active, earnest supplication of a person in right standing with God has incredible power, There's nothing that can stand against it. Mary, who was the Queen of Scotland, said of the Scottish Protestant reformer John Knox, "I fear his prayers more than an army of 10,000 men." That's quite a statement. Prayer brings strength. And then there's one more result yet. Prayer brings repentance. Several times in this epistle, we're reminded of our tendency to revert to our sinful lifestyle. And this issue surfaces again in the last verses of our text. James reminds us that within our hearts, there are desires that can easily lead us astray. He also shows us how we can guard against them. I see a connection back to verse 16. As you and I walk in unity with our brothers and sisters in the Lord, we will see when one of them is getting off track, as we say, or they will be able to see when we are drifting. You see, there is a need for mutual accountability. Faithful prayers and loving confrontations are a necessary part of our local congregations. As a leader in the early church, James saw the need for Christians to pray for each other. He said, "If anyone goes astray from the path of truth, and someone comes after you and turns you around and brings you back, then be assured they have done you a great service. That one rescues a soul from death and hides a multitude of sins." You know, often when someone walks away from God, they've been deceived. They don't see clearly where the road they are on is taking them. And if Satan has his way, they'll never see it, not until it's too late. But if you faithfully pray for them, and you lovingly come alongside them and say, "Brother, sister, do you realize where the road you're on is taking you?" Through your prayers and concern, God can use you to bring them to the place of repentance. You may rescue them not only from spiritual death, but from physical and emotional death too. This is particularly true of sexual sins, which have devastating spiritual, emotional, and physical consequences, and they also have far-reaching impacts on relationships. Not only is this person rescued from destruction, but many sins they would have committed are now covered. That is, they're not going to take place. The person has repented. Now they're walking in obedience to God's word, and they're finding joy and blessing in that obedience. The prayer of faith is a powerful tool in securing a faith that works. Let's exercise that prayer of faith and recommit ourselves to faithfully living for the Lord.
Thank you, J. Mark, for this encouraging teaching on the results of prayer. All good things that I want more of in my life: comfort, strength, and repentance. May each of these be found in growing measures in your life. You know, the only thing limiting our prayers is me. For myself, I get busy or become distracted, and my prayer life suffers. So many things vying for my time and attention. It is up to me to protect my prayer life and keep it healthy. I'm guessing the struggles you face are similar wherever you are, and our encouragement is fight for it. Pray more. Pray fervently. Thanks a lot for being with us today. If you want to contact us for any reason, or if you'd like to hear our other teaching from James, please let us know. You can contact us via email, which is hope@heraldsofhope.org, or you can contact us on our website. The website is heraldsofhope.org. And of course, you can write to us. The address is Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, PA 15533. This brings us to the end of our study in James, and we have only scratched the surface of this powerful, practical book. We wish you God's best as you continue to dig into the Word and allow it to penetrate every area of your life. Don't just read it. Do it. James said it very well. He told us, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves."